Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Hey there, welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. Come on in and make yourself comfortable. You and I, we're going to be hanging out for the next 30 minutes. Today's program is called It's Not About You. Whoa, that sounds like a nasty one, doesn't it? But listen, this is the message in the gospel and actually in all the readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We're going to be looking at these readings, and the Lord is very clear with this message. It's not about you. And let's face it, all of us, at one time or another, we can have this tendency to be selfish, to think that this is all about me. Whatever it is that we're doing, our prayer life is the same way. And that's specifically what Jesus is going to talk about today in the gospel, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. We'll talk more about that as the program unfolds. But for right now, I want to welcome you to the show. My name is Gary Zimak. We are going to be here, as I said, for the next 30 minutes. I hope you make yourself comfortable. I hope you brought a snack, a beverage, whatever, because I like to encourage you to be as comfortable as possible. If that means you want to eat while you're listening to this program, by all means, go ahead and do it. Before we go further with the show and look at the Mass readings, I want to do two things. The first is to direct you to my website, which is followingthetruth.com. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go if you want to find out about my books, if you want to invite me to speak at your parish or your conference, if you want to get in touch with me through email, or if you'd like to make a donation to my full-time ministry. You can do all of that by going to followingthetruth.com. You can also sign up for my daily blog, which is free of charge. It's called Be Not Afraid with Gary Zimak. You could do that by going to followingthetruth.com. Okay, now that we did that, let's go to my favorite part of the program. When we turn to our Heavenly Father in prayer, what a great privilege that we have to be able to turn to our Father in heaven that loves us. Now, here's the deal, or who loves us, I should say. Here's the deal. When we pray so many times, I don't want you to get to panic if you're not feeling anything. Many times when I pray, it feels like the Lord really isn't there. It feels like He's not listening. Sometimes when I pray, I do feel that He's there. I do feel His presence. But oftentimes when I pray, there is no feeling there. And sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. Don't be confused by your feelings. That is normal. It's absolutely normal to feel like that, because sometimes what the Lord does, because He wants us to trust Him more, because He wants us to grow in faith, He will sometimes take away those feelings that we have. So we pray and we feel like we're all by ourselves, or we feel like we're not being heard. That's normal. Keep praying anyway. And this is how we grow in faith. So with that in mind, let's turn to our Father in heaven right now. Let's ask for our needs. And I'm going to lead us in prayer. What a great privilege, as I said earlier, a great privilege to be able to talk to the Creator of the universe, who has been waiting to hear from us. So let's not keep Him waiting. Let's begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being here to listen to our cries for help. Let us praise you, Father. Let us praise you for your power, for your love, for the fact that you are everywhere. No matter where we go, you are there. That's pretty incredible. Father, we turn to you today with thanksgiving. We thank you for the many gifts that you have given to us, starting with the gift of our life. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We ask you to help us, with our daily struggles. Sometimes it's really hard, as you know, to make it through life without panicking. So with that in mind, we turn to you, Father. We ask for your help. We ask you to guide us, to let us know what you would like us to do this day. We ask you to provide for our needs today. And Father, I ask you to speak through me on the program today. Help me to get out of the way so that I can present your message. And Heavenly Father, I ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. Isn't that great to be able to talk to our loving Father, our Abba Father, our Dad, who loves us with an unconditional love? What a great privilege. Now, I mentioned at the start of the show, and by the way, this is the Gary Zimek Show, if you're just tuning in and wondering who this guy is talking on the radio. I'm so glad to be with you on this program. Today's topic is, it's not about you. That sounds nasty, doesn't it? But no, it's really good news. And I think for all of us, it's good to remember that from time to time. I can tend to be a really selfish person. I can tend to think about my problems more than I think about the needs of others. I think about when I'm praying, sometimes I forget that God wants to hear from me. He wants to hear more than just me asking for things. He certainly wants me to ask for what I need. But he wants to hear some other things too, like, hey Lord, how are you? Good to be with you today. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for sustaining my life. You know, it's good to throw those messages in there sometimes when we pray. So let's get right to it. The Mass readings for the 30th week in Ordinary Time, the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time, to be more specific. Now, we are nearing the end of the church year. There are 33 weeks in ordinary time. And, of course, the 34th week in ordinary time, we celebrate the solemnity of Christ the King. And that rounds out the church year, or the liturgical year. And what happens after that, excuse me, is we go into Advent and we begin a new church year. But I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but that's where we stand in the church calendar. The gospel today, and as I always do on the program, I'm going to start with the gospel. We will lead with the gospel because the way these readings work, the church anchors everything based upon the gospel. So we'll start with the gospel. This week, we look at Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. I'm going to tell you what the problem is with this gospel. And look, We all do this, and I'm not saying I don't do this, but there is a tendency, not just with this gospel, but with many of the readings we'll hear at Mass, or we'll open up the Bible and we'll look at a particular passage. We sometimes tend to apply what we're reading to other people, right? I mean, let's be honest, we all do that. Maybe not all the time, but we sometimes do that. And we'll look at a reading and we'll say, aha, this reminds me of my husband or my wife or my friend or the guy at church who thinks he's holier than everybody else. We want to be careful because the Lord speaks to each one of us through these readings. When we open up the Bible, we want to be concerned with the fact that he's speaking to us. So primarily, it doesn't mean that he's not speaking to other people, but since you're the one who's reading it or listening to it, you have to assume that he's speaking to you. So somewhere in here, there's a message for me and for you. And, you know, I'd rather think it's about the other guy. I'd like to think that I've got my act together, but I really don't. It's all a matter of degrees. You know, we want to continue to grow in holiness. We want to continue to grow closer to the Lord every day. And if there's things we need to address, then by all means, we need to address them. So here we have this story. This is a parable. Jesus taught in parables, stories, if you will, to illustrate a point. He addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Now, look, let's be honest. None of us are going to admit this, but to one degree or another, we tend to have this problem sometimes. And all you need to do is look on Facebook or Twitter. It's all over social media. Everybody's accusing everybody else of doing wrong things. We're pointing fingers all over the place. We just need to be careful about this. We can all fall into the trap of thinking we are self-righteous. We're convinced of our own righteousness. I'm holy because I pray a lot. I'm holy because I read the Bible, because I fast, because I pray the rosary on the sidewalk outside of Planned Parenthood. And again, all that stuff is good. But we are holy. We do good things with the help of God through the gift of grace. We are not going to be able to work our way into heaven. That's critical that we remember that. Because sometimes we beat ourselves up trying to be holy, which is a good thing, rather than, you know, it's a good thing, but we don't want to do it by ourselves. We want to cooperate with the grace that the Lord gives us. You and me, there is no way that we are getting to heaven by our own power. We just can't do it. We don't have what it takes. We need to admit that God's God, we're not. He can help us. By ourselves, we cannot be holy. We cannot do anything good by ourselves. We need the help of the Lord. That's really important for us to remember. So two people are praying, and he wants to shake everyone up. He wants to shake his listeners up. Two people are praying. One's a Pharisee, an observant Jew. The Pharisees, they obeyed the law to the letter, sometimes ignoring the intent of the law. They would pay attention to the law. They would also make up. They would add on to the law to make themselves look better, all the while not treating other people in a loving manner. You know, it's easy to fall into that that trap of legalism, if you want to call it that, where you're going to Mass every week, but yet in the parking lot after church, you're making gestures and cursing people out in the parking lot. You know, there's a tendency for us all to lapse into that if we're not careful. So that's what the Pharisees were doing. These guys were observing the law, but they weren't living the law, if that makes sense. The Pharisee and the other was a tax collector, the despised, lowly tax collector. They were viewed by the Jews as the enemy. They worked for the Roman government. They were known to skim a lot of the tax money off of the top and keep it for themselves. These guys were not highly thought of. So we've got the Pharisee, the observant, law-abiding Jew, and the tax collector, the enemy. So as he usually does, Jesus flips things upside down. He tells this story. And he says the Pharisee, they're both praying in the temple. That's a good thing. They went to the temple to pray. We're good so far, right? But the Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to God. No, the Pharisee was praying to himself. Isn't that incredible? I don't know if you caught that. But the Pharisee prayed to himself. And he took up this position. He was entitled. He took up a position of honor and he was praying to himself. His prayer wasn't about the Lord. He was forgetting about the Lord. Listen to what he said. Oh God, even though he appears to be talking to God, oh God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. In other words, I'm so good, God. Listen to me tell you about how good I am. Isn't that funny? When we hear that, we all know this is wrong. Something's wrong with this guy's attitude. Now, listen to the tax collector, the guy that everybody despised. They looked down on the tax collectors. The tax collector stood off at a distance. He's not jockeying for a position in the front of the temple. He's standing off humbly in a distance, at a distance. And he would not even raise his eyes to heaven. In other words, he knew his place. He was humble. He understood God was God. He was not. He beat his breast, sign of repentance, and he prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That prayer was not about him. The only thing he was claiming there was the fact that he was a sinner. In the meantime, what's the Pharisee doing? Hey, God, look at me. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm such a good person. I'm thankful I pray so much. I'm thankful I do this for you. That wasn't about being thankful for the gift that God gave him. It was about being self-righteous. In other words, God really didn't even need to be there because this guy was exalting himself. Jesus wraps this parable up by saying the latter, the Pharisee, went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. That's pretty clear. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God and what he does for us. Anything good that I do is solely because of the grace of the Lord. You know, that takes a lot of pressure off too, because sometimes we beat ourselves up thinking that we need to work and work and work and work in order to get God to love us. Well, that's not true. He loves us unconditionally. He has reserved a place in heaven for you and for me, and it's not based upon our good works. Now, here's where it gets tricky, because sometimes as Catholics, we get accused of thinking that our works get us to heaven. Our works don't get us to heaven. What gets us to heaven is the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross and opened up the gates of heaven for us. We have been redeemed by him. He makes it possible for us to get to heaven. Now, can we mess it up by not cooperating with the grace he gives us? By essentially being a nasty jerk throughout our lives? Can we blow our reward in heaven? Yeah, we can. We absolutely can, but we are not getting there because of our good works. We are getting there because Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, and through his death on the cross, we receive the grace that we need to allow us to follow him, to do good works, and to make it to heaven. But we're not getting there on our own power. We're getting there through the power of Jesus Christ. That's a huge difference. Now, let's back up and go to the first reading, which also supports this idea of it's not about you and me. This comes from the book of Sirach. Sirach's what it's known as a deuterocanonical book. The book of Sirach is found in Catholic Bibles, but not in Protestant Bibles. There's a bit of a difference there. We're not going to get into the details, but just know that we're getting something special here. This comes from the full Bible, the book of Sirach, chapter 35. Beginning of verse 12, the Lord is a God of justice who knows no favorites. Though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed. The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan, nor to the widow when she pours out her complaint. The one who serves God willingly is heard. His petition reaches the heavens. The prayer of the lowly pierces the crowds. It does not rest till it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds, judges justly, and affirms the right, and the Lord will not delay. So what we're being told in this passage is that God doesn't favor the poor just because they're poor. What he does is he listens and responds more earnestly to the humble, the people who recognize that they need him. They recognize their lowly stature. That's what the tax collector did. The Pharisee, this guy was proud. He was not humble. In order to get to heaven, in order to get God to respond to our request, our pleas for help, we need to be like little children. We need to be humble. This is what Jesus told us. We need to be lowly. That's the message. You see that? It's not about you. It's not about you thinking you. And when I say you, you know that I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about us in general, because we all have this problem. It's not about us. We can't go to the Lord and say, hey, Lord, you know what? You know what I do for you? I pray my rosary every day. I go to Mass daily. I receive communion every day. And I spend a week in adoration every. I spend a day, an hour, in adoration every week. And because of that, you need to listen to me. I got this problem. Don't think you're privileged or you're entitled, you know? Realize that you're humble. You're doing these things because God gave you the grace to realize they're important, and he gives you the strength to do it. That's the attitude. That's the mindset. You see that the difference there? He hears the cries of the poor, because if you're not poor, you're not even recognizing that you need his grace. And there's a time, and look, I've done this, and I still do this sometimes. I don't want to tell you this, but it's true. I forget how much I need him. Whether I'm writing a new book or I'm writing an article or coming up with a talk to give at a parish, sometimes I forget that it's not me doing this, that I can't do this on my own. Unfortunately, the Lord reminds me, he lets me know sometimes that I'm not going to be able to do any of this on his own. Sure, he gives each one of his gifts and the ability to do things for the kingdom, but it's the gift that he gives us that enables us to do that. Same thing if you're successful in business. That's only happening because the Lord is enabling you to earn a living and be successful because of the gifts he gave you. So we never want to forget that everything is a gift from the Lord. The responsorial psalm comes from Psalm 34 and reminds us of the fact that the Lord hears the cry of the poor. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. The Lord confronts the evildoers to destroy remembrance of them from the earth. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them, and from all their distress he rescues them. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and those who are crushed in spirit he saves. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants. No one incurs guilt who takes refuge in him. And you know, this psalm is all about, and the Lord is not talking as he speaks, the Holy Spirit as he speaks in Psalm 34. He's not talking about necessarily the people who live in poverty when he says the poor. The poor are those who realize they need God. When we recognize, when we take the position of the tax collector, we stand off at a distance. We don't try to barge our way into the church and sit in the front row so everybody can see us. And again, remember, this is not necessarily about sitting in the front row or the last row. This is about a mindset. If you walk in there thinking that you're better than everybody else, walk into the church thinking you're better than everybody else, then you are imitating the Pharisee. And it's so, again, you can sit in the front row and be humble. I'm not saying don't sit in the front row, but it's about a mindset. The Lord hears the cries of the poor. Let's look at the second reading. This comes from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Beloved, I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. At my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, this is nearing the end of Paul's life. It's apparent to him that he is going to be executed soon. I mean, Paul's life was in danger for many years, and now he's realizing he is at the end of his life. But check out what he said. Now, I've mentioned on the program before that the second reading is not necessarily chosen specifically to fit in with the other readings. It just moves from week to week. So we are moving through Paul's second letter to Timothy. But look at what the Holy Spirit does. There are a couple of messages embedded in this second reading that tie in perfectly with this "it's not all about you" message. One thing Paul says, I have competed well, I have finished a race, I have kept the faith. Okay, so in other words, keeping the faith, it's difficult. He's working hard at it to stay faithful to the Lord, but he refers to the crown of righteousness awaiting him, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day. That's our heavenly reward that he's talking about. Paul's not getting to heaven on his own power. He's recognizing he's subservient. He is humbling himself and realizing that, hey man, all I'm doing is running the race with the help of the Lord. Any reward that I receive in heaven comes from him. I can't force my way in and say, look at my credentials, Lord, you've got to enshrine me in the best mansion in heaven because I have done such a good job proclaiming the good news. No, Paul's saying this crown of glory that awaits him in heaven is something that the Lord has to give to Paul. So it's something that he doesn't earn. It's a gift. And Paul recognizes that. The other point that he makes is that the Lord stood by me and gave me strength. He's recognizing that the strength that he had to persevere in spite of horrendous persecution, and Paul had it pretty bad, imprisonment, being shipwrecked, being beaten, all you name it, it happened to Paul. He was doing this through the strength given to him by the Lord, that grace that the Lord gives to each one of us. Paul recognized the fact that he was weak, but the Lord was strong. And in fact, he used those, he made that comment in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he said, I could do all things in him who gives me strength. Paul wasn't doing it on his own. He's recognizing that he needs the help, the strength from the Lord. And that's what these readings were all about today. Sure, you can do great things, but that's because of the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. You're not doing it on your own power. All you and I can do, we can pray for the grace to be able to be holy each day. And you know, you take it one day at a time. Before you know it, we are like Paul at the end of the race. And none of us know when that'll be, but we all have that reward, that eternal reward promised to us. Our place in heaven is reserved. We need to cooperate with the grace that God gives us. We can't just assume we've got it made. We can put our feet up. We can relax. We're going to have our place in heaven assured. That's not what we believe as Catholics. Jesus opened the gates of heaven for us. Yes, he did that. Our redemption is done. But now we have been redeemed. We need to make sure that we're saved, that we are able to experience our salvation and make it to heaven. But we can do that as long as we cooperate with what he gives us. Moral of the story, it's not about you. It's not about me. Don't be like the Pharisee. Be like that humble tax collector who said, Lord, have mercy on me. What a great prayer that is. Okay, we are just about out of time. See, this wasn't as bad as you thought it would be. When you heard It's Not About You as the title, you probably thought, oh man, this is going to be rough. It's all good news. And I'm so happy to be able to be with you. If you want to catch up with me online, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Let me know what you think about the program. Again, check out my books there. You can also find out how to bring me to your parish and sign up for Be Not Afraid with Gary Zimek. Daily delivered to your inbox for free at followingthetruth.com. All right, I'm going to run. I want to thank you once again for spending a little time with me. It's great. We have 30 minutes together each week, and I'm so blessed to be able to do this. And as always, as I like to tell you, I'm not going to presume anything. God willing, I intend to be here next week. I certainly hope you'll be able to join me. And if you need anything, please feel free to reach out to me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Or you can go right to the website, followingthetruth.com, and contact me through the website there. But let me know if you need some extra prayers about something specific. Followingthetruth.com, let me know. I would love to pray for you. I pray for you anyway, but if you need me to include something specific, you just let me know. Okay, sound good? I'm praying for you. Please pray for me. I need it. My family needs it. We need your prayers very much, and we're very grateful for all the prayers you send our way. Okay, I've got to run. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day. And I want you to remember, I tell you this every week, but it's so important that you remember that until we meet again, my name is Gary Zimek, and I am reminding you that wherever you go, whatever you do, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See you next week on The Gary Zimek Show.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of my podcasts here at Breadbox Media. But today I'm speaking to you about a different opportunity. In September 2020, I'll be leading a fantastic pilgrimage cruise from Rome to the Holy Land, and then on the way back, stopping at the cities of St. Paul, Ephesus, Athens, Corinth, and more. While we're at sea, I'll be lecturing on the Gospels, history or mystery. When we're on land, I'll invite you to join me as we visit all of the holy sites, celebrating Mass, worshiping together, and having a wonderful time of fellowship. If you'd like to know more about this pilgrimage cruise, go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, go to the right sidebar, and you'll see a picture there which invites you to get more information. Go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, right sidebar, click on the picture of the cruise ship, and you'll get all the information you need. Alternatively, you can call the company that's organizing the tour at 800-247-0017. 800-247-0017. Ask for Father Longenecker's Cruise to the Holy Land. Thanks for listening.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.